Let us open in a word of prayer. Loving Heavenly Father, we praise Thee and thank Thee once again for bringing us to this sanctuary to have Sunday school. Lord, we praise Thee and thank Thee for Thy goodness to all of us. Thou hast provided us with good health and strength. And I also want to praise Thee and thank Thee for Thy mercy to my mother for saving her from dengue at the age of 92 years old. All praise and glory to Thee, Lord. Thou art indeed faithful, loving, merciful and kind to all of us. So we praise Thee and thank Thee that we can come to learn of the life of David and more importantly, how to apply many precepts, doctrines and learning lessons in our life so that we can have close fellowship, a close walk with Thee. We ask all this in Christ's precious name. Amen. So I'd like to share with you all praise and glory to God. My mother is very well at home now, having recovered from dengue after 17 days in the hospital. God is indeed very merciful to my mother. So today we are going to discuss the first lesson on the Lord rejects Saul. And King Saul ruled from 1047 BC to 1010 BC. Israel asked for a king. Let me read to you how King Saul came to power. 1 Samuel 8:4-9. Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel unto Ramah, and said unto him, Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walked not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. So the Israelites, they want a king. Samuel is old. Samuel's sons are not good, rebellious and disobedient. So they want a king just like all other nations. But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, Give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Samuel, Hearken unto the voice of the people in all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. God is displeased with their request too, because God knows the Israelites actually rejected him as God to rule over them. According to all the works which they have done since the day that I brought them up out of Egypt, even unto this day, wherewith they have forsaken me and served other gods, so do they also unto thee. So God says to Samuel, all these days, since the time God has brought the Israelites out of Egypt, the Israelites have forsaken God, was never faithful to God. So it is unto this day that they are also forsaken you, Samuel. Now therefore hearken unto that their voice, howbeit yet protest solemnly unto them, and show them the manner of the king that shall reign over them. So God told Samuel, give in to them, yeah? Give in to their request for a king, but tell them that a king will not be to their favor. And the king will impose many difficulties on the people. So that was where God was coming from to the people. He was not in favor of a king, but the people demanded it. God says, give it to them since they demanded it, although God was not in favor. So let me read on, verse 19 to 21. So Samuel went to the people and told the people, no, the king is not good for you. Remember, you have a God over you. But they insisted that they have a king, just like the other nations. And then verse 19, nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel. And they said, nay, but we will have a king over us, that we also may be like all the nations, and that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles. And Samuel heard all the words of the people, and he rehearsed them in the ears of the Lord. So Samuel took in what the people demanded and then informed God about it. So Saul was confirmed as king. 1 Samuel 11:14-15. Let me read to you 1 Samuel 11:14-15. Then said Samuel to the people, "Come, let us go to Gilgal and renew the kingdom there." And all the people went to Gilgal, and there they made Saul king before the Lord in Gilgal. And there they sacrificed sacrifices of peace offerings before the Lord. And there Saul and all the men of Israel rejoiced greatly. Okay, let's look at this map here. Map in blue shows the kingdom of Israel under King Saul. Yeah? And you notice that if you go up north, who are the neighbors? Right at the top, the Arameans. Can you see the word Arameans? Yeah? Today is Syria. And in those days, it's called Arameans. They are enemies of the Israelites. Then coming down to the east is Ammon and Moab. Do you remember who are made up of Ammon and Moab? In the series in Abraham, Lot, and the daughters gave birth to Ammon and Moab, the descendants of Lot and the daughters. Today it is Jordan. And then you come further south, you see Edom. See Edom in the south. Who is Edom? Descendants of Esau. Jacob and Esau. Esau's descendant, Edom. Amalek on the left. Who is Amalek? A further descendant of Esau. So Amalek, Edom on the south, Esau's descendant. Ammon, Moab on the east, Lot's descendant. And then you've got Arameans at the top. Now these are not friendly towards Israel, the Israelites. Yeah? Because of the history behind. Yeah? So, and then, where is Gilgal? Where they crown Saul as king. Right in the center here. You can see Gilgal. Not Jerusalem. Eh? In those days, Jerusalem was not the capital. So Gilgal was where they crowned Saul, and Saul ruled from Gilgal. Ah, I forgot this part here. On the west, Philistia. Philistine country, Philistia. Today is Gaza Strip. Right? So this is a rough geography of Old Testament Israel. Okay, this is another interesting timeline. It's a very big picture timeline. Yeah? Birth of Abraham is 2100 BC. Death of Abraham is 1975 BC. Birth of David is 1040 BC. Death of David is 970 BC. And the period of Christ is 1 AD on earth. Period of Christ on earth is about 1 AD onwards. Yeah? So this timeline gives you a big picture. When is the time of Abraham? 2000 BC. Very roughly. When is the time of David? 1000 BC. Just looking at round numbers, so that you can recall, oh, Abraham is about 4,000 years ago from today, because now it's 2022, around 2000 AD. And then Abraham is 2,000 years BC, so plus 2,000 plus 2,000, 4,000 years back. And then David lived 1,000 years after Abraham, because David is 1,000 BC. So Abraham 2,000 BC, David 1,000 BC, Christ 1 AD onwards. Yeah. So this is good for understanding. So now we talk about Abraham that was 4,000 years ago from today. Now we are going to talk about David, 3,000 years ago from today, 1,000 years after Abraham. Okay? So, really long periods of time. And we carry on with the narrative of Saul. God instructed Saul to attack the Amalekites and totally destroy them. So let me read to you 1 Samuel 15, 2 to 3. First Samuel 15:2. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he had laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. So God says he remembers that Amalek did evil, attack the Israelites when they came out of Egypt towards the promised land, because Amalek was in the south. Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them not, but slay both men and women, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. So you observe carefully what God told Saul. Utterly destroy Amalek. Spare them not. Slay both men and women, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. Everything destroyed. That is God's command to Saul. And Saul did not obey God, and God was aggrieved. Let me read on verse 7 to 11. And Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah until thou comest to Shur, that is over against Egypt. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag, and the best of the sheep, and of the oxen, and of the fatlings, and the lambs, and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them. But everything that was vile and refuse, that they destroyed utterly. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, it repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he is turned back from following me, and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. So, there. Saul spared the king, and all that was good, all the animals that were good, all the other people, human beings, were all destroyed according to God's command. But he spared King Agag. He spared all the good animals. Yeah? And God was grieved by what Saul did. And Samuel was grieved by what Saul did. Okay? So, you look at this map again. Gives you an idea of the battle. So Saul was from Gilgal. He came to Gibeah. And then he mounted an attack southwards to the Amalekites. Amalek. Can you remember who are the Amalekites? I told you a moment ago. Descendants of Esau. Descendants of Esau. Yeah? And you remember God says, Jacob I love, Esau I hate. So Esau is not the chosen people. The Amalekites are not the chosen people. The Jews under Jacob are the chosen people. So as a result, Amalekites and the Israelites are constantly in conflict, in battle. And the Amalekites refuse to allow the Israelites to go through their land. Yeah? Ambush the Israelites. When they came out of Egypt, they were going into the promised land. Amalekites took advantage of the Israelites, not allowing them through their land. So God remembered that and said, now, Saul, I want you to completely destroy the Amalekites. And so Saul attacks the Amalekites and routs them all the way to the eastern border of Egypt, push them right down south to into Egypt. He totally destroys them, but spares Agag the king and the best cattle and sheep. Yes. Yeah. So that was that, according to the narrative in scripture. Okay. Then Saul confronted, Samuel confronted Saul, with the instruction, with God's instruction, and asking Saul, why didn't you obey God? Let me to read to you chapter 15, 12 to 28. Okay, Saul's, God's instruction was, destroy the wicked Amalekites. Do not spare them and their animals. Yeah, that is clear. I read that earlier on. Saul's excuse, he claimed to have obeyed the Lord. He destroyed the Amalekites except for King Agag and the sheep and cattle. The sheep and cattle were for sacrifice to the Lord. That's what Saul said. Let me read to you what Saul said in scripture. And Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. Saul is very crafty here. He puts the blame on the people. The people took the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed. For what reason? To sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. See, the people want to sacrifice to God with the sheep and goats. I'm not to be blamed for sparing the sheep and goats. The people, in their goodness, want to sacrifice the sheep and goats to God, which is a good thing. Very clever answer, yeah? But the comments you read, to obey is better than sacrifice. Saul's excuse is that people want to sacrifice the best sheep and goats to God. Samuel's reply is, to obey is better than sacrifice. Partial obedience is no obedience. When obeying God, do not change God's requirement by applying human wisdom. So let me read here. And Samuel said, have the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Does God delight in your burnt sacrifices of the best animals? Then you obeying God's commandments? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, to hearken than the fat of rams. Yeah? That's how Samuel answered Saul. For rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft. He accused Saul of rebelling against God. God told you, utterly destroy. You spared the sheep and goats. You are rebelling against God. It is like the sin of witchcraft. And stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. You are stubborn. It's like you are wicked and you are committing idolatry, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord. He hath also rejected thee from being king. Very serious here. Saul has rejected the word of the Lord. He did not utterly destroy the sheep and goats. God has also rejected Saul as king. Okay, I want you to watch a clip here, video clip, and pay special attention to the part where Saul said he has sinned. He admitted to Samuel. Samuel accused him, you know, you disobey God and you have spared all the sheep and goats where you should. God has said you have utterly to destroy them. And then Samuel said, I have sinned. Observe how he said it. His body language. Was there repentant and seeking God for forgiveness? Why did he say he has sinned? Why did he say that he has sinned? At what point did he say? Was it with a grievous heart? Was it totally in repentance in his heart? Observe. Yeah, that's important. And then, we'll go on from there. Okay?
When Samuel, the last great judge of the Israelites, saw old age had come upon him, he made his sons judges over the people. But his sons had not their father's virtue, and were corrupted by their love of riches. Then the elders of Israel gathered together, and asked of Samuel that he appoint a king who would govern them as other nations were governed. Although Samuel warned them of the many burdens the king may impose upon his subjects, the elders insisted. Thus it was that Samuel, obedient to the voice of the Lord, anointed Saul, the tribe of Benjamin, as king of Israel. Then Saul, leading the Israelites, fought against their enemies on every side. Against Moab, against the Ammonites, against Edom, against the kings of Zophah, and the Philistines, and he defeated them. But as Saul's authority grew stronger, so did his ambition flourish, and he began to be disobedient to the voice of the Lord. So Samuel went again to Saul.
Asked it well, Abdon.
Samuel is here.
Samuel?
Samuel!
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 Long life to you, Samuel!
God be with you, Samuel!
Ah, what a happy day, Samuel. You bring the Lord's blessing on our victory. May you also be blessed. Honor the house of your servant. Come in. Come in and rest. You must be tired. The orders of the Lord have been carried out, Samuel. Don't be afraid. Come in. Have they? Those animals were taken from the Amalekites. The people saved the best to be sacrificed here in Gilgal before the sacred ark.
Yes, Saul.
The orders of the Lord have not been carried out. Destroy all living creatures in Amalek, men and animals alike. Put them to death. That is what the Lord said.
I've already told you the animals will be sacrificed here in Gilgal.
And do you think that is enough to excuse your disobedience?
I was afraid of my own people. I humored them.
And the king? Was it the people who spared the king of Amalek? Or was it your pride that forced you to make a show of your defeated enemy?
Remember to whom you're speaking, son.
Why don't you remember, Saul, what you were before God anointed you king of his people? But now you no longer listen to the voice of God.
The voice of God or yours? Oh, come, son. No need to be so hard. I have sinned, I admit. I've transgressed the Lord's will. Come. We'll go together and pray to the Lord. And you will plead for me.
No. I won't go with you. I won't be your accomplice, Saul. You have rejected the Lord's command, and he has rejected you. You will no longer be king of Israel. Has torn the kingdom of Israel from you and given it to another who is more worthy.
Tell me who it is, son. His name. This other.
Starting to torment yourself.
Tell me his name.
I don't know, but I know that day by day you will see him growing under your very eyes, and you will grow smaller and smaller.
All right. So you watched the video just now, and of course there are some parts that are over-dramatized. So you have to watch it with care, like the part where Saul tore off Samuel's garment. It's not recorded in the Bible, so please be careful when you watch the video. But a few things that we ought to note on spiritual lessons here. God was not in favor of a king, but the people ignored God's warning. We should heed God's will for us in any undertaking. God's will for us can be gleaned from Bible principles, prayer, seeking godly friends' advice, circumstances and situations. Of course, many of us are still having jobs, and there's always the point about going to a new job. So there are push and pull factors. So all these items are for your thoughts when you seek God's will in any undertaking. Bible principles, prayer, godly friends' advice, circumstances and situation, push and pull factors. Obey God. Saul did not obey God, and God rejected Saul. Similarly, if we disobey God and sin against him, God will not bless us. So sin is actually a very important part of our relationship with God, in the sense that we have to be very sensitive to sin. And when we sin in a habitual manner, it affects our relationship with God very much. Now, because you know our God is a holy God. Holy God, and he will not take lightly to sin. So this narrative now, we're talking about Saul, Samuel, it's about sin, Saul's sin. So what then? What about Saul's sin? What's so serious about it? Let's analyze it. Pride and arrogance. Samuel's confrontation with Saul. God instructed Saul to completely destroy the wicked Amalekites and their flock. Why did Saul spare Agag and the flock? Cool. So, and Saul's response was, he claimed to have obeyed God. He claimed that it was the soldiers who took the flock for sacrifice to the Lord. Yeah? I read that earlier on. And Saul insisted that he did obey God. He did right by allowing the soldiers to spare the flock for sacrifice to the Lord. So he insisted he was right. I have not sinned. I did the right thing. The people once to sacrifice to God. It's a good thing anyway. It is bringing worship and sacrifice to God, to bring thanksgiving to the Lord. So, what's so bad about it? Okay, we all know this was a lie. Saul and soldiers kept the best sheep and cattle for themselves. 1 Samuel 15:9. You can read that, yeah? Spiritual lessons. God knows when we lie. God also knew that Saul lied. We should not make excuses when we sin. We should seek forgiveness and repent. So up to this time, when he was first accused of his sin, he brushed it aside. He did not admit to it. In fact, he gave a very good answer. Yeah? It's for sacrifice to God. That's a good thing. So don't blame me for sinning. And not only is it for sacrifice to God, it was not his doing. The people want the animals for sacrifice to God, not him. He wanted to carry out God's command to utterly destroy. But the people wanted to sacrifice. And the people are doing the right thing too. So, very well-argued defense. But to Samuel further confronted Saul, to obey God is better than sacrifice. Saul's disobedience is rebellion against God due to his arrogance. God has rejected Saul as king due to his rejection of God's instruction to him. Okay. At this point in time, let me read to you. Yeah? What exactly transpired in scripture? For rebellion is like the sin of divination. Sorry, let me read. For rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. Immediately after that, Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned. First time Saul said he has sinned. For I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I fear the people and obeyed their voice. When did he say, I have sinned? When Samuel said, God hath also rejected thee from being king. He was rattled, not because he sinned. He is going to be rejected as king. Is he really repenting for his sin? Does he really admit that he has sinned? Or is he admitting so that the kingdom will not be wrenched away from him? And what did he say next for an excuse? Because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. No longer the people are good, they are going to sacrifice the best fatlings to God in Gilgal. That was not the reason anymore. But I feared the people. If I don't let them have the fatlings and the animals, they will do bad things to me. I have no choice but to give in to them. That was his second reason, which conflict with his first reason. So we know it's a lie. Yeah? So when we sin, do not make excuses, confess and repent, because God knows our heart. God doesn't have to hear what Saul said and then decide, is he right or wrong? Is he speaking the truth or is he lying? That is not God. God knows your heart. When you lie, he knows it immediately. Even before you speak the lie, he knows what's in your mind. So that's where Saul has fallen grievously. The Lord has torn the kingdom of Israel from Saul and given it to another. And because Samuel uttered that, Saul is rejected as king, Saul immediately confessed his sin. Saul requested Samuel to honor him before the elders and the people. Okay, let's read this part, interesting. Saul requested Samuel to go back with him so that he may worship the Lord. Okay, let's read this part. Then he said, I have sinned. Verse 30, chapter 15. Then he said, I have sinned. Yet, honor me now, I pray thee, before the elders of my people, and before Israel, and turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord thy God. I have sinned. In the next breath, he says, honor me now, before the elders of my people, and before Israel, that I may worship the Lord thy God. Where is repentance? Where is a broken spirit and a contrite heart for his sin? Instead of having a broken spirit and a contrite heart for his sin, he says, honor me now before the elders. I am king. Honor me. So Samuel turned again after Saul, and Saul worshipped the Lord. Okay, Samuel went with him and worshipped the Lord. So the spiritual lesson here is Saul was full of lies and pride. Even though God has rejected him, he wanted Samuel to honor him before the elders and people. It's a lot of pride. You know, he's a king, and here he has uttered his sin, but at the same time, you know, let's not have all that broken spirit and a contrite heart here. I'm king, honor me. That's how Saul portrayed himself. When we sin, we should not give excuses for our sin. We should confess and repent with a broken spirit and a contrite heart. Psalm 51:17. That you can read for yourself. How should we confess our sin? With a broken spirit and a contrite heart. That is obviously not in Saul. So, let's have a bit of group discussion. How would we confess our sin with a broken spirit and contrite heart to God in our prayer? All too often, sometimes myself, you know, we say, Lord, forgive us for our sin. I repent of my sin. And then you go on praying. You know, we don't really manifest that feeling of repentance and crush in our spirit. We don't, yeah? Because we're so used to praying, forgive us our sins, or we repent. So every time it's just mouthing of the words, it comes out and we go on praying. But how should we really confess our sins with a broken spirit and contrite heart? Let me read a portion of David's confession of sins in Psalm 51. When he went into Bathsheba, and when he murdered Uriah, the husband of Bathsheba. Psalm 51, have mercy on me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgression. He was referring to his murder and adultery. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Psalm 51. David was crushed in spirit because he knows his sin, and because his sin, he felt God was far away from him. He had no fellowship with God, and he felt this misery. And he came to God, confessing his sin with a broken spirit and a contrite heart. That is the way we should confess our sin. B, give examples of using human wisdom in contradicting God's word. When Saul said to Samuel, the animals were spared by the people because they want to sacrifice to God in Gilgal. That's human wisdom. God said, destroy all. Saul said, it's a waste. Why destroy all the good animals? They've done no wrong. It's good that we keep them for our benefit. Some can go for sacrifice to the Lord, for thanksgiving, and others for our own use. Meat, food, trade. It's not wrong. Yeah? If you look at how Saul, think of it from a human wisdom perspective. But in this case, Saul conflicted God's command. There he has sinned. And there, we cannot use human wisdom to conflict with the commandment of God. In the area where there is no conflict, by all means. So think about examples where human wisdom contradict God's word, and we apply human wisdom. See, how do we know that God, both answers given by Saul, the sheep and goats are spared because the people wish to sacrifice them to God. Second answer, the sheep and goats are spared because Saul feared the people. Both are lies. How do we know that? Okay, I'd like to give you some time to ponder these three questions. Just take about 5-10 minutes. How would we confess our sin with a broken spirit and contrite heart to God in our prayer? You look at Psalm 51 of David. That is a good example of how David was crushed when he confessed his sin to God. There must be a certain grief in your heart, sadness that you have violated God's law and God has now distanced himself from you. We don't want God to distance himself from us. We want to be as close to God as possible, right? For our own sake. It's in our interest that God is as near to us as possible. And if we sin, God is not going to be near us. And then we have to be grievous for our sin. Plead with God to come back to us. And the only way that God will come back to us, that we have a broken spirit regarding our sin. We know it is a terrible thing to do, to sin against God, and we will tell God we will not do it again. So when you confess, it's not just a matter of one or two sentences. I have sinned, God forgive me, I repent. God give me a good day today where I'm going shopping. You know? There must be something more to it if you are of a broken spirit. And God wants you to repent. Meaning of repentance is never to do it again. But we all know we do it again. We must try not to do it again. Have a sadness, grief, a feeling of guilt will be good. That's how David felt. Example of human wisdom in contradicting God's word. Okay, some examples like, young people meeting non-Christian. Okay, I will I will go out with him, date him, non-Christian, but surely he will turn to Christ one day. I will make sure of that. Yeah? That's contradicting God's word using human wisdom. Human wisdom is, I will convert him. Human wisdom. But God says, be not unequally yoked. If you're different, you're different. A bull cannot be yoked with a donkey. That's how the idea of unequally yoked come about. So a Christian person cannot be dating a non-Christian. Unequally yoked. Yeah. Their fundamentals are different. So don't use human wisdom and say, I'll go out with him and convert him. That's contradicting God's word. Using human wisdom. Yeah? Also cases of telling white lies. Again, I'm not saying it's easy when you're confronted with difficult, very sensitive situation. We all encounter it in our lives. And we tell a lie to protect somebody else. Protect ourselves. You tell a lie so that somebody else will not be grievously hurt. Human wisdom. But God didn't say, go right ahead and lie if you're protecting somebody else. That's not in God's word. How do we know that both answers given by Saul, the sheep and goats are spared because the people wish to sacrifice them to God? The sheep and goats are spared because Saul feared the people. There are two answers here given by Saul. How do we know both are lies? Read chapter 15, verse 9. But Saul and the army spared Agag and the best of the sheep and cattle, the fat calves and lambs, everything that was good. These they were unwilling to destroy completely. But everything that was despised and weak, they totally destroyed. So it's Saul and the army spared the sheep and goats. Saul did not put it that way. Saul said, the people want to sacrifice. The people want to sacrifice. The people is going to do harm to me, and I fear the people. So, verse 9 proves that what he said was wrong. Further, if I may also add, when Saul gave the second answer, I fear the people, he's saying the first answer was untrue. His second answer is, I fear the people. No longer the people are going to sacrifice the animals. I fear the people, therefore I gave in to them to spare the sheep and goats. If the second answer is true, why did he not say it up front that he feared the people as his first answer, if that is true? Saul was obviously changing the answer as he goes along, answering Samuel. Yeah. Both are untrue. He's just trying to get out of the rut that he has sinned. And God knows it all. So God rejected him as king. He has no integrity. He just holds on to power of being king. So it is the same with us, remember? Saul's story. God knows our heart when we sin, and the only way we can make the relationship with God again is to repent with a broken spirit and a contrite heart. Don't give any excuses. Don't do an Adam and say, you gave me Eve, Eve made me eat the fruit. That's what Saul is doing here. Cast all the blame on other people. He is not to be blamed. Let us pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we praise Thee and thank Thee for this lesson. And we pray more importantly that we will apply this lesson to our lives. To make a good relationship with you when we sin. To plead with you with a broken spirit and a contrite heart. Thou wilt not despise. Teach us, Lord, to be holy because Thou art holy. Teach us to do what is right in your sight, so that Thou will delight in us and reward us. We want to be near Thee, Lord, and we want Thou to be near us, always. We ask all this in Christ's precious name. Amen. Thank you for coming.